this guy, you know, Pastor John wasn't here, and somebody came walking up the street asking if they could preach here this morning. And we said, well, we don't have a pastor, so I guess you can. No, I'm just joking. I just want to welcome Ben. For those of you who don't know, Ben Thompson was a pastor here multiple years ago. And we are so glad he's still in this town. He was out of the town for a little bit, and then God blessed him with a job right down the street, right?
Down the street, Fairview
right
Avenue.
Down the street, and so we're excited to have him come and share with us today, and I'll let him give his own little introduction, but we are really glad he's here.
Thanks, Steve. Steve said, how should I introduce you? But that's what he came up with. No, it is good to be here. It's good to see some of you again. Some of you, it's the first time, so don't be offended. It's not that it's not good to see all of you. It's just some of you I haven't met before, so it's good to see you. I'm feeling, as I look around, I'm feeling the challenge of trying to keep a few people awake this morning. I've failed before, so, you know. I appreciate Pastor John sent me a note that he was going to be away and ask if I would fill in, and I was glad that the timing worked out. We just got back into town last night. We were away for a few days, so I don't know whether I'm rested and energized. Oh, wait, no, that's never been the case. I'm just happy to have a little bit of time to share some things with you, see if I can make the technology work today. Just a quick update on us. Like Steve said, we're back in town. Maggie's not here with us today, but she and Jill and I have bought a house here in Waynesboro, so you're stuck with us for a long time. Thank you, Julie. Appreciate that. The rest of you, it's too late now. Nice try to recover. I convinced Jill to marry me, and so in July, she got hooked. She became my wife, so you want to keep praying for her. It's the best job she's ever had, I'm sure. But we're doing well, as Steve said, working down the street. My office isn't down there yet, but working with Mount Vernon Terrace, and it's fun when I get to introduce people to the property, or I'm walking people around who are considering living there. Not always, but most of the time I try and mention some of the things that they might find in the area. There's parks, and there's this, and there's that, and there's good churches, and I'll mention a few places, and I'll say, why, even right at the end of the street, there's a church that would welcome you, and keep doing the food bank. That's one of the things I'm allowed to talk about without jeopardizing my employment, because people need food. Hey, the church down there does a food bank, so please keep doing that. Otherwise, I'd be lying to people, and I don't want to do that. It's good to be in town and see what God is doing. Maggie's busy living out the dreams of all ninth graders, I'm sure. After school, she runs, and then she comes home, and she does homework, and then she goes to bed. It's a glorious life for her. On weekends, she does about the same thing, but she's doing well and not with us today, but I'm sure she would have said hello to at least a few of you. You never know. She's 14, so you never know which direction the switch is going. One of the things that I think is, I don't know if it's a job, if it's, it's definitely one of the most important things to me, being a dad. And I think parenting is maybe, I don't know if it's the hardest job in the world, it certainly brings out all that is within us, doesn't it? I talked to a young couple in our neighborhood last night. Their baby's, I think, 2 weeks old now. And just chatting about how you're doing, and isn't it interesting how such a beautiful little package can show you how selfish you are. You wanted to sleep tonight, did you? Uh-huh. Not happening. But I think the most rewarding thing, potentially, the most rewarding thing is parenting successfully. raising our children to become, I don't know if successful is the right word, substantial, significant adults. And I think there's parts of that we can't control, but I think we have the biggest impact on the potential of our children becoming significant. And I know that today some of you may have already raised children, some of you may not have children, this may be a little of a disconnect in this part, and I get that. But I think we can influence other people, whether they're our children or not. So I think, and even to the teenagers that are here, you have no idea probably how much this height looks up to you, not just because of the physical difference either. You know, I remember when Maggie was little that she would like follow around the 12-year-olds, right? Some of you remember seeing that. So the impact and the influence that we have in helping raise children to become productive, God-fearing adults, I think is probably the most significant thing we can do in our society. So I always want to be around a church that's reaching out to the children of the community. And I get not every church maybe has that as their primary mission. But I always want to be around people who are reaching out, because that impact is what lasts generation after generation. And don't we parents all want our kids to be able to excel beyond us? I mean, even people who don't love God, they want their kids to do better financially or have better jobs. But don't we want our kids to be substantial beyond us in every way? Grandparents, I mean, I know, you just want them to come over and visit. I know. Well, today, I want to share with you two ways that I think we can inspire other people to greatness. Not just the children and youth among us, but I think ways that we can inspire one another to greatness. Let me see if I can make this work. The use of technology may be, one of those ways. Inspiring others to greatness. And there's room. I didn't bring a handout for you, but on the back of that white piece of paper, there'll be all the room you need to write notes today. And the note can be, you know, "Dear Jill, I love you. When is this going to end?" Or you can write notes about the sermon. Please, I should be the only one writing, "Dear Jill, I love you. When is this going to end?" Okay? The rest of you have to put a different name in there if that's your notes. We're going to look today at the life of someone we usually only hear about when there's a baby dedication. Isn't that crazy? Sometimes we only get to talk about certain things on special events. Well, today I'm going to break the rules, okay? I want to talk about someone who raised their child to change their world. We're going to look at someone whose child led a nation, then successfully changed the very form of government of that nation. And then after changing the form of government, ushered in the new leader of that government. And then when that new leader of the government went his own way and denied God, ushered in the successor and the person who may have been the greatest leader of all time. Today we're going to look at the life of Hannah. Just one bit of the life of Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel. Samuel led the great nation of Israel as priest-prophet. Samuel then led Israel in changing the form of government from leadership through the religious order to government under a king. And then when Saul decided he would do things his way and rejected God's order, Samuel anointed King David. And when you read about the life of Samuel, this is one of the most amazing people to me in Scripture. If you really dig into his life and the courage that he had and the things, Saul was going to kill David, right? Saul is in rage, and he comes in, he gets in the presence of Samuel, and like the people that he sent into the presence of Samuel, they just basically collapse under the presence of God. Saul, who had pretty much turned his back on God, gets in the presence of Samuel and begins to prophesy. I don't know if we're even allowed to do that anymore in Christianity, but the amazing work that God did through Samuel, I believe it was due in part, in large part, to that brief period of time that his parents were able to influence him. And to hearing the story of what went on in his mom's life. So life for Samuel's mom, life for Hannah was hard. She came from a place of struggle. Samuel came from a place of struggle. Today we're going to look at his mom, Hannah, and I hope we're going to get at least two significant lessons on how to inspire others to greatness. Would you pray with me one more time? Lord, today we ask that you would help us understand your word. Help us understand the truth of your word. God, I pray that this would go more than just into our thoughts and our mindset, but that our hearts would be changed by your truth and by your love today. Help us lift our eyes beyond what we're looking at now and believe for greater things because of you. Holy Spirit, stir your word within us today in Jesus' name. Amen. So our background is 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you want to turn there, if not, I'll put it up on the screen in a minute. But let me give you the background a little bit. The culture of the time, and this is going to be a shock to some of you who don't understand culture beyond America. The culture of the time, the most important thing for a woman to be successful in the culture of the time was that she give birth to children, especially a male child. Now, ladies, you know how much control you have over that, right? Yet that was not how God, but how society judged the value of a woman at that time. If you couldn't have a child, you had very little value in people's eyes, in the culture of that time. So we're going to read about Hannah, who was a childless woman, a barren woman, an unfruitful wife. And we can only imagine that the thoughts of the culture at that time seeped into her and how she valued herself. So that's the setting today. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let's see, down is the right way. There we go. There was a man, and please pronounce all the big words, the names of places and people with me, if you would. There was a man from Ramathaim, Zophah. All right, I'll do it. From the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. He was the son of Jeroham. All right, you pronounce it. The son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. Teenagers, you will be quizzed on this genealogy immediately after the service. Please memorize it. All right, so Elkanah, that's who we're talking about. You can call him Elk if you want. He had two wives. The name of the first was Hannah, and the name of the second was Penaniah. Now, Penaniah had children, but Hannah was childless. What a great introduction to this lady in Scripture. Elkanah had two wives. There was Penaniah, the one who had children, and then Hannah, who was childless. Let's keep going. Year after year, I underlined it. You can underline it in your Bible if you want. Year after year, this man would go up from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh. So he was a priest who did the priestly stuff in his village and then went to headquarters each year to do his duty there as bringing sacrifices. It was there that the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, served as the Lord's priest. By the way, they didn't do a good job of it. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he used to give meat portions to his wife Penaniah and to all her sons and daughters. But he would give a double portion to Hannah, and all the underlining is mine today. He would give a double portion to Hannah because he especially loved her. Now the Lord had not enabled her to have children. Here's a phrase that I just find amazing. I read it again and again, verse 6. Her rival wife, This is why, men, God never intended two wives. God never intended this phrase ever, her rival wife. All right? Yeah, so ladies are going, oh, yeah, I'll kill her now. Right? Her rival wife used to upset her. Well, I think just her presence would do that, don't you? But this was intentional. Used to upset her and make her worry, for the Lord had not enabled her to have children. By the way, it's Old Testament, so everything unexplainable was blamed on God, both the good and the bad. Both the things that he did and the things that maybe he didn't do were credited to him. Verse 7, Penaniah would behave this way year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the Lord's house, Penaniah would upset her so that she would weep and refuse to eat. How upset do you think she was? Verse 8, finally her husband Elkanah said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and not eat? Why are you so sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Listen, gentlemen, I need to take a break right here and tell you. If there is ever anything so important to your wife that she obsesses about it, that that's all that she can think about, that it's the most important thing to her, that she wants it and desires it to the point that she's this upset, and you say to her, aren't I better than 10 of those? If she doesn't say no, it's because she's resisting the urge to strangle you. Do not ever say to your wife, aren't I so much better than that thing that you really want? No, you're not. You're different. You're different. It's okay, I know. All the men are like, oh, your dreams are crushed. No, you know it's true. We're just revealing and stripping the layers off today. All right? Can you imagine? So ladies, let me tell you. Men saying dumb things is nothing new. It is how we are wired since the Garden of Eden and the fall and sin messed up our wiring. We say stupid stuff. Understand it's biblical for us to do that. This is why I'm here. Let's pray and go home. See, you don't get this stuff by listening to Christian radio. I'm telling you. They're not that courageous. So we see the situation. Elkanah, I'm going to call him Elk. He's a priest. Each year he goes to headquarters to do his job, right? The most important event of the year. And each year, wife number two mocks and torments Hannah, who is wife number one. Imagine being the outcast, feeling like you're the incompetent one, the incapable one, whatever Hannah thought of herself. Imagine carrying that. And she carried it all the time, but now the spotlight is on. The most important event, and it's year after year after year. Here's the name I've given to her. Heartbroken Hannah. Can you imagine? And see, this is tied in her mind and the mind of others. Why has God rejected me? See, when good things happen, we feel like we're lucky. And when bad things happen, we feel like God has rejected us. So it'll, again, the crossing of wires. Why has the very God of heaven made me ineffective, incapable, despised, the object of ridicule? Now, I know we're so full of faith and self-esteem, we never feel that way, do we? Well, Hannah did. And I think most of us can relate to that at one time or another. We're all going to be in a hard situation. We're all going through stuff. We're going to have a heavy load. It's called a burden by some. A weight that pulls us down, not just on our shoulders, but our heart and everything. So the first lesson inspiring others to greatness is what we do through the difficult times. How do we handle the burden? How do we handle the heartbrokenness? What do we do with that which is killing us. I believe Samuel knew and heard this account again and again. I believe he heard this and he heard what his mom Hannah did with her burden. What do we do with our greatest burden? Well, let's look and see 1 Samuel 1 verse 9. On one occasion in Shiloh, after they had finished eating and drinking, Hannah got up. Now at the time, Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. She was very upset as she prayed to the Lord. So basically, the great religious leader of the time is kind of sitting here and Hannah's over there praying. And she was weeping uncontrollably. Now, we're reserved in this church, so we probably don't see this often. She was weeping uncontrollably. She made a vow saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will look with compassion on the suffering of your female servant, remembering me and not forgetting your servant, and give a male child to your servant, then I will dedicate him to you, to the Lord, all the days of his life. His hair will never be cut. That's symbolic of a vow. There's nothing special about cutting or not cutting hair. It's symbolic of a vow of dedication, of commitment. Verse 12, as she continued praying to the Lord, Eli was watching her mouth. Now Hannah was speaking from her heart. Although her lips were moving, her voice was inaudible. Yes, you see, there are shy, introverted people even in the Bible. She's weeping uncontrollably, but she's talking, but there's no sound coming out. Okay, verse 13. Now Hannah was speaking from her heart. Although her lips were moving, her voice was inaudible. Eli, therefore, thought she was drunk. So he said to her, how often do you intend to get drunk? Put away your wine. Why are you coming to the altar drunk, lady? Wow. You ever come to church and have the people at church that are supposed to be all holy and spiritual be the ones that go, right? It doesn't happen here, but in other places. But Hannah replied, that's not the way it is, my Lord. I am under a great deal of stress. I have drunk neither wine nor beer. Rather, and by the way, don't make a doctrine out of that line either, okay? Rather, I have poured out my soul to the Lord. Don't consider your servant a wicked woman, for until now I have spoken from my deep pain and anguish. Wow. Here's the first step, I think, in inspiring others to greatness. Bring your burden to the Lord. Bring your burden to the Lord. Heartbroken people who are willing to bring their deepest pain, the most vulnerable part of their life, their biggest embarrassment to the Lord, actually inspire others to greatness. We see in Hannah a woman who is desperate. She's interceding. She's seeking God. She's praying. She's committed. She's being mocked and ridiculed even by the religious leader of the day. But she still pours her heart out to God. She still opens herself to the Master. She still brings her burden to the Lord. Man, we don't even want to admit that we can't handle stuff. How are you? I'm fine. Right? Now listen, sometimes that's appropriate because the person asking isn't really going to do anything about our issues anyhow. But if that's our approach all the time, what do we do with our burden when we're heartbroken, when we're being crushed by the things of life? With our shame, we want to hide it. We want to bury our hurt. We want to blame others. We want to make excuses. Or we cover our pain, right? You think the opioid epidemic is just about physical pain? Come on. Medicines, drugs, activities, busyness, church activities. Listen, I've seen people hide their pain and seem like the most religious people that you can find. They're always busy doing church stuff. Why? It's so they can keep running and never stop and go, wow, I'm a mess inside. Hannah shows us if we want to make an impact, we've got to be willing at some point to bring that burden to the Lord. When we're done looking into the scriptures today, those of you who would like, I'm going to invite you to come and pray. Well, we can do some of that now. But this is not the only place that you can bring your burden to the Lord. There is a place in your home. There, maybe in your car. I'm telling you, I've had many encounters with God along the side of the road. So, well, they usually start while I'm on the road, but, you know. Bring our burdens to the Lord. I want you to consider today taking that which is most painful to you, that which is most embarrassing to you, that which is most confusing to you, that which is most troubling to you, and bring it to the Lord. Give it to God and let Him resolve it or not resolve it as He sees fit. Let's look a little bit more. 1 Samuel 1, verse 17. Eli replied, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him." She said, "May I, your servant, find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way. Listen to this. She went her way and got something to eat, and her face no longer looked sad. At the very moment, she believed God heard her. She chose to believe the voice of God coming through the priest of God at the time. She took her burden to the Lord, and she believed God heard. Wow. Now listen, for some of us, for many of us, that may happen the first trip to God, and it may take a little bit of practice. We may have to prepare ourselves and think about all the times that God has met us and that He has met others in the past. But I love Hannah is pouring her heart out to God. She brings this burden to the Lord. And then she gets a word from God. In this case, it came through Eli. She gets a word from God. He's heard your prayer. Okay. I don't transition that fast. They got up early the next morning, and after worshiping, which is always a good thing to do in the morning, after worshiping the Lord, they returned to their home at Ramah. Elkanah had marital relations with his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. After some time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Woohoo! Oh, really? That's it? This lady who's embarrassed all the time, who can't have kids, I tell you she's pregnant with a son, and you go, come on. She named him Samuel, thinking, I ask the Lord for him. Do you think Samuel, growing up, that his name affected his walk with God? You're just what I wanted, boy. Come on. I asked the Lord for you. Now listen, I know we don't always want to name our kids based on the situation in which they came about. I understand that. Right? I mean, and you hear some of the names. You know, we won't go there. I asked the Lord for you. Parents, let's reinforce that with our kids, right? I want you. I want you. I may want to put you in a room and throw away the key for a day or two, but I still want you. Right? I believe you're a gift from God. Listen, young people, I know texting is important right now. I know, I get it. I know you're putting my notes right on Facebook Live, probably. If you're here, it's because somebody wants you and thinks you're a gift from God. That's pretty cool. And if you read the scripture, in James it says, every good and perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, who's not wishy-washy. Sometimes, listen, your parents, like my daughter's parents, is not perfect. We get frustrated. We don't always get our own way while we're raising you, you know, which is a challenge for sinful people to not get their own way. But that doesn't mean that people don't think you're a gift from God. Someone asked God for a blessing, and you showed up. What do we do with that which is most challenging in our life? Do we bring our burden to God? Well, I told you there are two things. I gave you one. Bring your burden to the Lord. I want you to see the second thing, 1 Samuel 1:21. This man Elkanah went up with all his family to make the yearly sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow. But Hannah did not go up with them. Instead, she told her husband, "Once the boy is weaned, I will bring him and appear before the Lord, and he will remain there from then on." Does it sound like she's hesitating on her promise? No. So her husband Elkanah said to her, by the way, man, he blew it earlier, but listen to what he says. I want you to catch this. He says to her, "Do what you think best." All right, gentlemen, if your spouse is here, would you turn to them today? No, just remember that phrase. Okay? It's really helpful. I understand. Right? All right. It's been confirmed by two or three witnesses. Do what you think is best. Stay until you have weaned him. May the Lord fulfill his promise. This is good leadership by her husband, right? I know we're going to do what God says to do. I'm going to trust you to help me with the timing. Let's not forget, we made a vow. So the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Once she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with three bulls, an ephah of flour, a container of wine. So you can replace this with hundreds and fifties and $20 bills or whatever you want. She was bringing a sacrifice, an offering to the Lord. She brought him to the Lord's house at Shiloh, even though he was young. Once the bull had been slaughtered, they brought the boy to Eli. She said, "Just as surely as you are alive, my Lord, I am the woman who previously stood here with you in order to pray to the Lord." Verse 27, "I prayed for this boy, and the Lord has given me the request that I ask of him. Now I dedicate him to the Lord. From this time on, he is dedicated to the Lord." Then they worship the Lord there. Not only do we need to bring our burden to the Lord, we need to bring our blessings to the Lord. Our favorite blessings. Our most important blessings. Our most cherished blessings. See, sometimes we forget this part. We ask God for something and then we think it's ours to do with as we please. We ask God for a job and then we let that job keep us from fellowship with the body of Christ or from service to the community. We ask God for a blessing and we think it's ours to keep. We ask Him for mercy and then we assume we deserved it to begin with. We ask Him for our kids and then we just take them everywhere except to worship. We ask Him for finances and then we spend it all. We ask Him for a family and we don't bring them to the Lord. We ask Him for talents and then we use them for our own purposes. With what has God blessed us? I think it's time we as God's people bring our blessings, the ones that God gave us, and we bring them back to Him. Now listen, I'm not talking about everyone needs to bring their children to be dedicated, to be a priest, to be a minister, that they should be full-time clergy members. That's not what this is about. But isn't it time we get determined to teach our kids and our grandkids that there is nothing more important than their walk with God? How long do your kids, do your grandkids have on this planet? Then what? We want them to pile up all these trophies? Why? So 40 years from now, they can pull out a box and go, "Wow, at one point, I felt good about myself." How about, and I love that so many of you here do this, we train the next generation to understand God has blessed them and gifted them uniquely to make a difference in the world. How about we demonstrate by example that we understand where our resources came from? Do your kids know that you bring God His 10% as tithe? Or do you just tip the Lord on Sundays? And most of the time, the tip isn't even 15% of the bill, is it? Oh, I can meddle. I'm leaving. I don't care what you do on Monday. Well, we're very committed to worshiping the Lord unless there's something else that comes up that's more interesting. Oh, sorry, kids. Can't pray with you today. Got to go to work. Listen, it's not easy to bring our blessings to the Lord. Do you think Hannah was like, oh, good, the kid's three. I can't wait to get rid of him. I think that's why she waited till he was three. Because at two, we would have been like, yeah, Hannah, that's no big deal. You know. You remember, don't you? Three, four, 5 years old. Do you think it was harder for Hannah before she had Samuel or when it was time to bring her blessings to the Lord? So what message does Samuel have growing up? God is more important than anything. My parents were willing to release me to the work of the Lord because it's that important. Now listen, I believe we don't see it in here, but I believe there was still the connection. They saw him every year. They went up to the house of the Lord to worship every year. I believe it wasn't an abandonment. But I believe they gave with abandon. We want to impact the next generation. We want to make a difference. Then let's recognize that every blessing is from God. Turn those blessings over to Him. Ask Him how they should be handled. God, what do I do with this? We won't take the time to do it today, but read chapter 2 and Hannah's prayer after she brings this offering to the Lord. Oh my goodness, it is like amazing. How God gives victory, how God gives blessing, how God does this work. Bring our burden to the Lord and bring our blessing to the Lord. Which is most difficult for us? I think we need to do both. Would you stand with me? Shannon, would you come and minister, continue to minister? Lead us. You know, maybe today the burden is heavy. Maybe you're carrying it alone. Maybe today the blessings are weighing you down. They're so elaborate. Maybe you're somewhere in between. Today we're gonna close the service by just inviting you to come, kneel, stand, whatever you'd like to do, whenever you're ready. Shannon, go ahead and begin to play. We'll come and pray with you if you want. You may not be able to express the hurt or the shame or the pain or the absence or whatever it is. That's all right. I do know this is a safe place to weep. I do know this is a safe place to just go. Today, if you've been carrying something heavy for a day, a week, a month, a year, a lifetime, I want to ask you to do something dangerous. Let go. Let go. There may not be someone here who says, God's heard your prayer and what you wanted you're going to get. Listen, it doesn't always happen that way on this earth. But I can tell you that when you bring a sacrifice to God, when you bring a burden to God, what will happen is that God will meet you. And He'll show you how to begin to shift that burden onto His shoulders. And you will see life change. I'm going to begin to pray, and as I do, if you want to, and you don't have to, you can pray at home too. But as I pray, if you'd like to find a place around the altar, I invite you to do that. Lord, thank you for the lessons of your word. Thank you for those that have gone on before us and the humanity that we see in Scripture. But Lord, I thank you that Scripture is far more about you than it is about human trial. And I thank you, God, that you show us your love in meeting Hannah where she was at. Lord, thank you that you show us your love in meeting us in our place of burden, in our place of pain, in our deepest hour. Lord, I thank you that even before Eli said something, you were present with Hannah. But Lord, I thank you for the revelation of who you are. Today, Lord, as we seek you, help us to move through our doubt. Help us to move through our fear. Lord, help us not only to bring you our burdens, but to bring you our blessings as well. In Jesus' name. After this song, you're welcome to go if you'd like, or stay and pray if you'd like.
Is called. Was born.